Well, as I mentioned, fall means back to school and back to work and back to the concert hall for a lot of music organizations. In the case of the Rogue Valley Symphony, they start their 51st season of orchestral music concerts in just a week. What was once a small community orchestra of amateur musicians has grown into a cultural institution in Southern Oregon and Northern California. This year, the symphony will welcome world-class soloists and give the world premiere of a major orchestral work, as well as an Oregon premiere, and that's just part of the program. The symphony's music director, Martin Maikut, joins us this morning. He's also music director of the Queens Symphony in New York City, and in 2016 was named an emerging artist by the League of American Artists, or American Orchestras, rather. Good morning, Martin. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, John. Thank you.
So last year, you were also named music director of the Queens Symphony. So does that mean that you are shuttling from East to West Coast all the time, or do you have complimentary seasons?
I became intimately familiar with the Medford Airport. Yeah. They're somewhat complimentary. Queens is mostly spring and summer. So now I enjoy this beautiful, crisp fall air here for the time being. And I'll start going back later this year again. And then it's every few weeks.
So the symphony now is able to attract really major world-class soloists. This coming season, we have Peter Serkin, who was originally supposed to appear last year, I guess.
He was supposed to open our 50th season.
Yeah,
yes.
Due to illness, he wasn't able to do that. But fortunately, he's coming back. And Livia Zone, as well as premier compositions. How did the symphony get to this point where people are actually really paying attention to the orchestra?
Well, John, it's been a most rewarding journey. So part of it is, of course, you have to have sound financial fundamentals. But whenever we get artists here, we try to treat them really nicely. You know, I know myself when I go guest conduct, often you're in a hotel room by yourself until the moment of the rehearsal or performance. We don't do that. We really give people a lot of attention when they're here. And they love the environment, and they frankly love working with us all, with the orchestra, and everyone wants to come back. So and then, you know, we all are a gossipy bunch, so so people talk, and now we have, you know, all these incredible doors have opened for us. Everyone knows we were at the League of American Orchestras conference in Chicago in June with the executive Joel Graves, and everyone knew who Rogue Valley Symphony was, and all these agents were, you know, just come, you know, wanting to talk to us about their artists. So it's wonderful.
Martin Maikut, our guest this morning, he's the music director of the Rogue Valley Symphony Orchestra. So let's start just sort of winding our way through the coming season, because there's a lot of exciting music here. And a concert just coming up just next week. We have the pianist Lise de la Salle, who's appearing with the orchestra. Let's hear a bit of her. Lise de la Salle, she's performing there a piece for solo piano by Robert Schumann, the very well-known Liebeslied, and she's not performing that with the symphony, but she is performing the towering Schumann Piano Concerto,
Schumann
one of the
piano
real
concerto.
rocks of the orchestra repertoire.
Yes, and strangely, not that many pianists want to play. They always want to play Rachmaninoff or something else, but I also was very picky about whom I wanted this to play. I think she just had the perfect sound. And I'm really looking forward to this. Schumann's Piano Concerto is one of my favorite works. I think it's the quintessential romantic concerto before romanticism became this huge philosophical concept. It's just the pure, you know, expression of feelings and soul. And one of the most inspired works that Schumann wrote. So Lise is coming from France to do these performances with us.
Tell us about her. She's a young and upcoming soloist, isn't she?
Yes. Well, she has a pretty remarkable career in Europe, and I think she's not quite as well known in the United States yet, but she's getting there. I think she's a fabulous pianist. Yeah. I haven't worked with her yet, so I can't tell you more.
Okay. We'll have you back later and for a review. But that concert series is coming up next week, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. And we open it with Bernstein's Candide. It's another moment of commemoration of our great American genius, probably the greatest classical music genius of the 20th century when I look back, or at least the second half of it, because I don't want to disregard Gershwin and a few others. But so we're doing the Candide Overture, and then we're doing a piece that is just so much fun, and it's not played all that often, and that's a suite from Zoltán Kodály's opera Harry Janos. Very fun piece about the guy who's spinning tales about being the critical person who won every battle in the Napoleonic works. And so the music reflects that kind of make-believe, and there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek, a lot of beautiful orchestral effects. Should be fun.
That's really a fun piece. We have another significant young artist coming this year for the Rogue Valley Symphony, and she is a violinist, Livia Zone. Let's hear her for a moment. You just mentioned Gershwin. That's Livia Zone playing music by Gershwin. We won't hear that with the symphony, but maybe as an encore, but she's here to play the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto.
Yeah, another huge romantic concerto, very popular. Isn't she? The sound is so beautiful. It's just like made of honey. She plays one note and you want to hear the next one, and then the next one. I could listen to her for 12 hours straight, so... Yeah, she's. We made her a surprise guest for our season unveiling. She flew in and played a few pieces when we unveiled the season. Very fun. So I can already attest that she's a wonderful person.
Livia Zone. So now another thing that's really exciting about the Rogue Valley Symphony's next season is that there are a couple of really unusual pieces, modern works, new works, including a world premiere. Malek Jandali has written a viola concerto, which is unusual in and of itself. There aren't many viola concertos out there. And it's a world premiere. And for those of you who are into trivia, the composer actually is a cousin of Steve Jobs of Apple. I didn't know that.
He failed to mention that to me. All right.
but how did that world premiere come about?
Okay, well, let me first start by saying that in the 50th, we commissioned 5 works, and I want to continue bringing these new works into life. It's been such a rewarding journey. Malek is a Syrian-American composer. He was actually born in Germany, but then grew up in Syria, and he has quite a history. He's on the blacklist of the Assad regime, and his parents had to flee because of his opposition, Malek's opposition to the regime. And Malek sees his role in life as preserving the heritage of the country that practically exists on paper only. It's been so ravaged by the war, and so that's his life mission. He's a very creative, just sort of nonstop creative artist. And he approached Roberto Diaz, who is probably the viola player at least in the United States. And he's also the head of the Curtis Institute. And they met at some concert and he said, I want to write a concerto for you. And so that information got to me. And here we are doing the premiere of that work.
And he will be the soloist as well?
Yes, Roberto Diaz is coming. Yes, yeah. So we're developing this very nice connection with the Curtis Institute, which is this very important music conservatory.
I know certain concertgoers are maybe a little shy of a brand new work or a world premiere. Can you describe Malek Jandali's music, the overall style that he composes in?
Yeah. So there are touches of the Syrian music, but the music, I'm not going to lie, this will be a fairly complex piece, and I will definitely spend some time talking about it before we play it. I feel that... these modern compositions should not reflect my personal tastes as much as they should really give you a sense of what's going on in the world of music. That's why all those five commissioned pieces last year, I made sure they're all of a very different style, and I continue in that vein. So Malek, again, his piece will sound unlike any of those that we've heard last year. That program is certainly, you know, the first one is lots of fun. The second one, you know, we also have Brahms' Tragic Overture, which I thought was appropriate for, you know, to set up the mood for the concerto. And then we have, with Beethoven's Fourth Symphony, we will bring the lights up a little more. but it's going to be a moment of contemplation.
Martin Micoud is the music director of the Rogue Valley Symphony Orchestra, our guest this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-838-3760, or you can send us an email. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. You have another piece that's receiving its Oregon premiere, which is a piano concerto by Christopher Theophanidis, if I pronounced his name correctly, and that features the pianist Jeffrey Beagle, who was also played a major role in the creation of that work,
yes,
if I understand
indeed.
Correctly.
So Chris Theophanidis is one of the most popular composers of classical music. His piece, The Rainbow Body, was the most played modern classical piece for many years in America. And we already premiered one of his pieces, I believe 3 seasons ago, and he was able to come here and spend a week with us, just a delightful man. And Jeffrey is, of course, a favorite in the Valley. He comes back quite often to work with us, and he worked at the Brit several times as well. So he approached Chris, and again, this whole thing was on my radar, and I jumped on the opportunity to present this new work.
So for composers who are working now in the early part of the 21st century, are the smaller orchestras maybe a better vehicle for them to get their compositions heard than, say, the Chicago Symphony or the New York Philharmonic?
Well, I see there's a very healthy trend of, first of all, taking the audience into consideration, taking listener into the equation again, but also there is certain humility that maybe was not so present, in the last century, in the second half, when there was a little more of the ivory tower attitude. So now we can approach all these big name composers, and they absolutely want to hear their works played, and they want to hear them played often. So some of these works we do as co-commissions, which means we pair up with another orchestra or four, and then we can make a nice honorarium for the composer, and they get to hear their work played in 5 different states, say. So it's a sort of a win-win situation for everyone. But also, you know, some of these people, when you know, the word spreads around, the music director likes to do these things, the orchestra plays them well, then the composers will seek you out, and they want you to perform their works. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point.
It's an exciting process. So are you finding that local audiences are receptive to this new music?
I was really very pleasantly surprised. Of course, there were some critical comments, but overall, last year with those 5 new works, we heard mostly very encouraging comments, and there were several pieces that elicited just really beautiful reactions from the audience. I have to here bring up Ethan Gans Morse's, a composer who lives here in Rogue Valley. He wrote a piece that we performed in collaboration with the Native American tribes in the area, called How Can You Own the Sky? And that was such a powerful piece that we did Beethoven 9 in the second half, and I had several people coming to me and say, you know what, I think Ethan's piece made an even bigger impact on me than Beethoven's 9th. So that's a great accolade.
Right. And it sounds like there's a lot of thought that goes into the programming on your part when you have a new piece of music and a world premiere to try and figure out the context that you're going to present that work in.
Yeah, that's really fun to try to program it in its appropriate context. And also, I'll be honest, the edgier the new piece, the nicer the stuff around it, you know, in quote marks, the more you're going to get a really safe symphony when I think, okay, this piece will be a challenge. So I play this game of not trying not to lose anyone and win new listeners as well.
Martin Meichert is the music director of the Rogue Valley Symphony Orchestra, our guest this morning on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-838-3760. jx@jeffnet.org is our email address. And this year you also have an old friend returning to play Beethoven, Alexander Tutinov.
Yes. So Alexander is going to play Third Piano Concerto at the concert that also features Berlioz's Symphony Fantastique. So he hasn't been with us for a few years, and so I had to have him back. It's with Alex. It's really fun. I went to his house and, you know, told him I would love him to perform with the symphony again, and I had several suggestions. And as I was telling him, okay, I'm thinking this concerto, he just said, oh, and started playing it. And then I said, or maybe this, oh, and he started playing it. It was like a living jukebox, you know. Everything I threw at him, he immediately started playing. So we settled on Beethoven, because I don't think he has done any Beethoven with the Rogue Valley Symphony yet.
Right, well, looking forward to that. And then also, after a hiatus of several years, the symphony is relaunching its holiday candlelight concert. What,
yes.
What made you bring that back?
Well, we keep changing what we offer for holidays. This is a relatively small area, so whereas in a bigger city, you could do, for example, the Messiah every year and fill the hall. Here, you know, you sort of a certain wariness sets in after 2 or 3 years. So, I'm trying to do the Messiah sometime. Then another year, I would do sort of a pops oriented concert with the full symphony, and then we would do these smaller, more intimate concerts in local churches. Where you can get really close to the orchestra. And this also gives me an opportunity to feature our local talent. So my soloist there will be Kristin Kessler, who's the oboist with the orchestra. And the rest of the program is just a really nice holiday or holiday-ish affair. It's not all holiday music. It's just sort of music that, for me, has that soothing quality. And we'll have a brass ensemble playing, you know, so it's going to be fun, you know.
And then late in the season for the Rogue Valley Symphony, you have some Stravinsky on the program. Let's take a listen to that. That is Stravinsky's Dumbarton Oaks, which will be on the program, along with the work for piano and orchestra
and
that will feature Peter Serkin.
Yes, yes. So Peter Serkin, when he unfortunately had to cancel on us last year, we immediately, you know, we're trying to get a date out of him. And so this happened, but he said, well, there is a piece I have to play. He will not give us a choice. So he said it has to be Stravinsky's Concerto for Piano and Winds, which is quite an unusual piece. I don't think many people heard it live. So I started thinking, what can you pair that with? And I said, oh, how about more Stravinsky? You know, just go bold or go home. So that's what. So the first half is Stravinsky, Dumbarton Oaks, and this concerto. And then the second half is Schubert's Seventh Symphony, his great, or Ninth Symphony, actually, the numbering is confusing. So let's just call it the Great C Major Symphony.
It's often referred to as the Great Ninth Symphony, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so
Schumann said it was of a heavenly length. Isn't that wonderful?
So Peter Serkin apparently really likes coming to the Rogue Valley. He made an effort to get back here last year in the Tutinov recital series. I heard that concert he performed, the Goldberg Variations.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
Now he's coming back again.
Yes, well, that was part of the package was Symphony plus Tutinov series. He could not come for the symphony. He could fulfill his obligations later with the Tutno series. But, you know, I find out when you work with these sort of with superstars of classical world, they're usually the nicest people. They are. He's just such a wonderful and very accommodating guy. So, you know, I often feel like when you are at that status, there's you don't have to prove anything anymore. So you just can sort of relax into your position of greatness.
I like that. I don't experience of it myself, but I like that concept. So let's skip to the end of the Rogue Valley Symphony's year. And you have a special program lined up in the spring for young audiences. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So after a few years of hiatus, we brought a Discovery concert back last year. And this year, I don't want to play it super safe, not even with the kids. So the featured piece is called The Composer is Dead. And it's a criminal story where the composer is found dead, and everyone has a motive. Every instrument and even a conductor has a motive to kill him. So it's a real fun criminal story based on the writing of Lemony Snicket. So that should be fun. And we're going to play excerpts from many works that we perform in the season, like Symphony Fantastique, on the program as well.
So you're going to have special blocks of tickets for young people, because I imagine most adults want to come to that as well.
Yes, and we are actually, there are some concerts that we don't advertise that we do. We have an educational program that we put together in collaboration with Carnegie Hall called Link Up. We teach young people in Phoenix Talent Elementary School, and then they perform with us at the Criterion. And we also invited them and their predominantly Hispanic parents to come for free to this concert, to this Discovery concert. So we're really trying to. I believe that what I want to do is to make the music accessible to people who don't necessarily have the means, you know, who would love to come, but just don't have the means to come to a concert. So that's another effort that we're trying to undertake.
Great. Martin Meikert is the guest this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the music director of the Rogue Valley Symphony, also the Queens Symphony in New York City. Thanks for being with us this morning. Looking forward to the upcoming season of the Rogue Valley Symphony. Still concerts in Ashland, Medford, and Grants Pass?
Ashland, Medford, and Grants Pass. Yeah. Thank you so much, John. This was a pleasure.
It's been fun. Thanks very much.